Welcome to another edition of the Gold Nose Podcast. I am your host, Gregory McCoy. This podcast is by a fan for fans. I am not a journalist. I am not a reporter. I am not an insider. I do not work for a website. The majority of my content comes from me, in my opinion. Other information comes from the internet. Today is June 25th, 2020. I got about five different segments here for this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Last couple of weeks, I've been leading off with coronavirus, racism, police brutality. I'm going to continue with that same format. Coronavirus, at the time of this recording, the numbers in the United States, 2.43 million cases confirmed. 124,000 deaths, 747,000 recovered. Worldwide, and I haven't been saying the worldwide numbers, but I'll say them today. 9.39 million cases confirmed, 481,000 deaths, 4.72 million cases recovered. No new symptoms. A lot of states are having record spread, record cases, record infections. A lot of states are going to the mandated mask thing, social distancing. U.S. hits highest single day of new coronavirus cases, 36,358, breaking April record. But you're not hearing about other countries anymore. Italy was like the epicenter at one point, but you're not even hearing about Italy anymore. So I don't know, man. This thing is literally like wildfire. I mean, it's just no end in sight. And we probably won't have football this season. If it, you know, I don't see this thing tapering off in July or August. You know, I just don't see it. I mean, either you're going to go back on complete lockdown or you're just going to just throw caution to the wind, man. There's really no in between at this point. You can't do partially anything. You can do the mask thing. You can do just being clean in every facet of life as far as whatever. You can go back on total lockdown or, like I said, throw caution to the wind, man. It just seems like this country's throwing caution to the wind. I think you're going to get to a point where going back on total lockdown is just going to be, it's going to be too late for that. Pretty much everywhere I go now, nobody's wearing a mask. Which is kind of sad, but it is what it is. So I just hope, you know, somebody, the president, anybody, can step up and lead this country, man. I don't think it's going to be him, but somebody needs to do something. I think, my personal opinion, I think they're going to let it get as bad as it possibly can, and then everybody's going to be racing for this vaccine. That's what I think. That's what I really feel like. There's a method to the madness. But hey, I'm just a guy in his bedroom recording a podcast, so whatever. Racism. Um, every day it just seems like there's more and more, you know, just lynching. Lynching is back. Did it ever leave? I mean, every day it's just more and more racism. It just seems like the when white people get mad, the go-to word is the N-word. So I mean, it's here to stay, man. It never left. It began with the inception of the United States of America. It began with that. It is synonymous with the word, with this country, the United States of America, and racism is the same thing, in my opinion. Will we ever get to a point where racism doesn't exist? No. It's like saying, you know, night and day is just going to be done. No, it's not. It's not going to happen. It's ingrained into the minds of mainly white people in this country that every other race is beneath them. Not all white people, but majority. And it's sad that we're at this point. But the protesters, man, they're making change slowly but surely. Risking their lives. You know. So it's like war pretty much. You're risking your life for a cause. It's like that's war. So kudos to them for doing that. Police brutality. Again, something that started with the inception of this country. Slave patrol. Like I said, one of my people that listened to this podcast told me about it. It was like the very first police force was called a slave patrol. They would go catch runaway slaves. So that mutated into what we have today. I watched a video today. A guy walking from a gas station. No weapons, no nothing. Police just ran up on him, picked him up, slammed him on his face. I mean, didn't threaten the police, didn't do anything. So police officers can just go up to people now, pick them up, and slam them right on their head without probable cause. Seen another video today. Cop pulls woman over. He runs the tag car. He says the car comes up stolen. He pulls her over and pulls out a gun. So, and they said he had it at low ready position. I don't care. Why are you pulling out your gun in the first place? Like, that's just your first instinct when you see black people, pull out my gun. So, you know, we have to change the way we train police officers in this country. It's a very hard job. I respect what they do. I don't think they need to be defunded. It just needs to be severe penalties for making bad decisions. Lose your job. If you go to another job, you pay restitution, medical bills, whatever. Funeral costs, whatever. Your pension is taken away from you. Doesn't go to your family. It goes to the wrongful death of the person that was killed. And I guarantee you, you'll have a different mindset when police officers go out there. But I was reading that in Colorado, they had, let me look it up. I want to make sure I'm saying this correct. looking it up here. All right. Colorado passes landmark law against qualified immunity, creates new way to protect civil rights. Basically, police officers don't have qualified immunity when they do crazy things. So that, and a lot of police officers in that state are thinking about resigning because they don't have that license to kill people. And that's basically what it was. I mean, the George Floyd situation, the cop, he just looked right in the camera and said, "What?" All you had to do was handcuff the man and put him in the, stuff him in the car. It's over. But you slam him on the ground and then you put your knee on his neck for damn near 10 minutes. So, listen, man, we got a long way to go in this country, man. And me personally, I don't think we're going to make it. It's wishful thinking. You're talking about 400 years of nonsense. It's going to take another 400 to get it out of here. So I just don't see it happening in my lifetime. I appreciate the protesters and what they're doing. Black Lives Matter, all of that. But, I mean, it would take a monumental something for this to just basically do a whole 360, the reverse, the other way in terms of equality. And I just don't see it happening. I mean, that's just my opinion. So let me know what you think about the first segment, man. Going back to a segment that I did for a couple of weeks or a couple of episodes ago on my favorite movie actors, Samuel L. Jackson. Is he still box office? And I would definitely say without a doubt. I mean, just iconic, man. Pulp Fiction, Django Unchained, Shaft, Star Wars, Jurassic Park. The latest one he had is The Banker. And I couldn't believe that this guy is 71 years old, man. It's crazy. Kong Skull Island, one of my favorites. Goodfellas. Long Kiss Goodnight. He's been in Marvel, man. The Negotiator. You know what I'm saying? The Deep Blue Sea. SWAT, one of my favorites. Big Game. Jungle Fever, forgot about that one. I mean, just all kinds of iconic movies, man. He's a legend. So definitely still box office, man. I think one of his most iconic roles was Steven in Django, man. Just pulverizing performance. It's just crazy how good this guy is as an actor. I mean, like I said, just one of my favorite actors, man. So continued success to him. And moving on to the Florida State stuff. My favorite Knowles. All right, these are my favorite Florida State Seminoles. Deion Sanders, number one, of course. Warwick Dunn, Dalvin Cook, Peter Warwick, Jalen Ramsey, Cam Akers, Derek Brooks, Charlie Ward, Terrell Buckley, Jameis Winston, Travis Miner, Walter Jones. Those are just the guys that I wrote down. You know, these are some of the guys that just made Florida State the name that it is, man. And I have to give, I mean, you have to say Ron Simmons and Ron Sellers and those guys, Fred Biletnikoff, they helped too, but Florida State didn't become Florida State until Deion showed up, man. Let's give the man credit. He put Florida State on the map in football, in my opinion. That's just my, you know what I'm saying? I don't, like I've said many a time, man, people in my neighborhood where I grew up, Miami Hurricanes, Washington Redskins, Dallas Cowboys, okay? Those were the teams in my neighborhood that everybody loved. Okay, the Lakers, the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the Miami Hurricanes. So, especially amongst the kids, people, they loved the Hurricanes. I didn't. I wanted to go in a different direction. So, you know, Deion Sanders, freshman, high-stepping. I say, this is my guy right here. You know, out there making plays as a true freshman. Sitting at the crib watching football on a Saturday. And, you know, it's been Florida State ever since. Warwick Dunn, man. True freshman, 1993. I mean, swing pass out the backfield against the Florida Gators. Iconic. Peter Warwick, I mean, it seemed like every time he got on the field, he made plays, man. Charlie Ward, come on. We know, we all, come on. Terrell Buckley, come on. And, you know, I think some people going to say Travis. Well, you got Travis Minor on there? Yes, he was a beast, man. He didn't get the touches that he deserved, but, man, that he broke all of Warwick Dunn's high school records. He was a beast. He just had and he was on that 99 team that won the national championship. I think he was. Yeah, he was. I mean, he wasn't as legendary as Warwick Dunn in college, but he's still one of my favorites. I don't care what anybody says. Walter Jones, Hall of Fame tackle, great player, best offensive lineman to ever come through Florida State. Jameis Winston, you know, even without all the mistakes and debacles, still one of the best to come through. Derrick Brooks, come on. I don't need to say nothing about Derrick Brooks or Dalvin Cook or Jalen Ramsey. I mean, Cam Akers did the most he could with less talent around him. I mean, he virtually had no offensive line his whole career, and he still almost rushed for 3,500 career yards. So, you know, it is what it is, man. Those are my favorite Noles. So, next Florida State topic. Doak Campbell Stadium, name change, my thoughts. Doak Campbell had segregationist views, you know, back in his time when he was president at Florida State. I mean, I don't care if they change the name. I don't care if they change it. I don't care if they don't change it. Going back and changing stuff throughout history is not going to help us today. Okay? It's still going to be ingrained in people's minds that it was called Doak Campbell Stadium for, you know, however many years it was or is. So would it be a step in the right direction to correcting history? Without a doubt. But we have to change the course of history right now. And I don't think changing the name of a football stadium is going to do that. I mean, cosmetically, it does something, but you know, when you take off the makeup and you get the real thing going, you see the real thing. I don't think it's really going to do anything. It's just my opinion. So, you know, tearing down all the Confederate monuments, I'm for that. I'm for that. I don't think that people that have that had racist views and wanted to have 50 separate states and basically have every state be a, you know, a segregated racist type environment. I don't think those kind of people need statues. So I agree with that, but does that I guess it does kind of move us in the right direction by correcting things that are on the wrong side of history. I can agree with that. But what are we doing to stop the unnecessary killings? I mean, we need to work to get the laws passed to stop the unnecessary killings. Then we go back and handle the statues and the racist names that are on, you know, buildings and all that stuff. We can go back and do that. We're working from small to large. We need to work from large to small to correct these things. I do agree that there needs to be a name change on the stadium, but that's small potatoes. The biggest thing is protesting to get harsher penalties for rogue police officers. That's my thing. That's the main topic. I don't think you need to defund police, because when there's a problem, you have to call somebody to come and resolve that problem. I don't think they're going to let citizens take the law into their own hands. That would be just, you know, the OK Corral, you know. So we'll see what happens with the name change. Last segment for this episode, the Norvell debacle. Is it forgotten? I don't think it's forgotten. I just think the team has put it behind them and moved on. You know, he made a mistake, a big, huge mistake. And, you know, hopefully he has learned that, you know, your players are not going to stay silent when you basically lie, when you do lie. And, you know, again, kudos to Marvin Wilson for standing up for himself, black people, and his team, because Norvell didn't tell the truth on that one. So, you know, I think overall Norvell is a good guy. He just made a bad decision. And, you know, hopefully he won't. You got to remember, and this guy's still under 40, man. You know what I'm saying? So maybe he just on this particular situation, he didn't get the gravity of what was going on. But I don't give him a pass on it. I think he's old enough to know this, the gravity of this Black Lives Matter thing. And but hopefully he has learned from his mistake, and going forward in situations like this in the future, he will tell the truth, and, you know, this team can move on from this and become or get back to what we all want them to be. So we'll see what happens, man. Thank you for listening. That concludes this episode. It's available on YouTube. It's available on all podcast platforms. Do your research on flu and respiratory viruses. Be safe, be kind, be courteous. And as always, go Noles.